From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a quick look at local and statewide news. Alaskans eager to know how much their permanent fund dividend will be this year, as well as when they'll get it, will have to wait a little longer. The dividend is caught up in a broader debate over state budget policies, and a legal disagreement could affect its size, even if lawmakers settle on an amount. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The House of Representatives passed a bill on Tuesday aimed at funding PFDs at $1,100, but they could be more like $600, or a different number, or nothing. Lawmakers who worked on this year's budget already tried to pass an $1,100 PFD. Some of the money failed to pass with the support of three-quarters of both chambers, the required amount. Then Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed the rest. So the House tried again and landed on the same number. There's a reason for that. It's the amount lawmakers have said the state can afford without drawing more than planned from permanent fund earnings. Now the bill goes to the Senate, and Senate President Peter Michicki says it's confusing for Alaskans who've heard dividends would be different amounts.
Alaskans are expecting a PFD in October. Then while we're sitting here fiddling around until almost October, it's on us to work it out like adults and figure out a way to get that check out to Alaskans that many of them happen to be in need right now.
Dunleavy has proposed a dividend of $2,350 as part of his plan to put the dividend in the state constitution. That amount equals half of what the state draws from the fund and is known as a 50-50 PFD. And it's less than the full amount under the formula in state law, which would be roughly $3,800 this year. Michicki has voted in favor of a 50-50 PFD earlier this year, but he says it may be difficult to get a consensus at that level. House Minority Caucus proposals for higher dividends failed.
There was not support for a 50-50 PFD in the House. In fact, they lost ground. We saw that there was not support for a full dividend in the House. Well, the Senate will have a different position.
A major challenge for having a higher dividend is that many lawmakers don't want to draw more than planned from permanent fund earnings. Some say they'd be willing to if it was part of a bigger solution to the state's long-term budget problems. But the legislature hasn't been able to reach a solution on these problems for more than 5 years. Even if both chambers of the legislature pass an $1,100 PFD, the check may still end up being smaller. That's because nearly half of the amount would come from an account the Dunleavy administration says is empty. It says the money in the account was swept out of it after three-quarters of both chambers failed to agree to keep it there. Assistant Attorney General Corey Mills told the House Judiciary Committee members that the money can't be spent.
You basically have no money in that fund from which to do any new additional appropriations.
Some legislators disagree and point to a recent Superior Court decision. In it, the judge wrote that the account is one of several that is separate from those that are subject to the three-quarters vote. But the case wasn't focused on the issue. Megan Wallace, the legislature's top legal advisor, says the ruling could provide the basis for paying for PFDs from the account the state says is empty. It's known as the Statutory Budget Reserve, or SBR. And she says if the legislature and the Dunleavy administration disagree over it, the legislature could sue.
I could potentially see a potential for litigation, particularly if there's a disagreement about how much money from the SBR is available to the legislature for appropriation.
House Speaker Louise Stute says House Majority Leaders aren't looking for a lawsuit, but they believe the account can be used to fund the dividends. She hopes the legislature and Dunleavy reach an agreement. But if they don't, the legislature may have to go to court.
If we come to that point, I guess that's the direction it'll go. Hopefully it will not come to that point.
The bill to fund PFDs is currently being considered by the Senate Finance Committee. And if the current special session isn't able to resolve this year's PFD amount, Dunleavy and lawmakers are already talking about a fourth special session this year. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Much like mitigation measures in the outside world, strategies for preventing the spread of COVID-19 in schools are ever-changing. KTOO's Bridget Dowd looked into what Juneau's school district is doing to keep students and staff healthy.
It's been just over 3 weeks since students returned to Juneau's classrooms, and so far, District Superintendent Bridget Weiss says their case numbers seem to be reflecting the rates of the city as a whole.
Our most frequent cases are at elementary, where kids can't be vaccinated yet. Our response is most of the time to quarantine a classroom.
She says when someone tests positive for COVID-19, Juneau Public Health determines when that person can return to school based on factors like their symptoms and when they took the test. When someone has been in close contact with an infected person, they get tested 5 days after exposure, and if the result is negative, they can return to school on day 8. Weiss says so far that response has proved effective, but isn't always easy because reports of positive cases or possible exposures come in at all hours.
A couple of times I've been notified of an elementary case at about 7 in the morning, 7:15, 7:20. So we are sometimes calling parents right before school starts to say, please don't send your kid or come pick up your kid. And that's unfortunate, but it is what we have to do sometimes.
Until recently, school officials were under the impression that they couldn't ask staff members if they'd been vaccinated, but that's no longer the case.
We've gotten some clarity this week, and I'm super excited that we can request verification of vaccination status, that it is not protected by HIPAA. So that is going to be a huge tool for us. And many, many of our staff tell us that they're vaccinated or not, right? That it's just very few, but that don't want to do that.
If for any reason a staff member doesn't answer, the district just assumes they're unvaccinated for any protocols built around vaccine status.
It is simply operational information. What we want is a safe environment. So whether somebody is vaccinated or not, we don't hold any judgment on that. We just need to know so that we can respond accordingly.
Weiss estimates about 70 to 80% of all school staff members are currently vaccinated against COVID-19. Optional weekly tests are also available to staff members. As for athletics and activities, participating high school students have been tested frequently for COVID-19. Starting this week, the district is also implementing that policy for middle schoolers. Weiss says they look at every opportunity for teams to travel individually and keep the trips as short as possible.
We used to play football at 7 or 8 at night. Now we've been playing them at 3 in the afternoon because teams can come in the morning, play, and then go home that night and not have any overnight. So again, limiting that exposure.
Those teams are no longer eating out at restaurants. They bring food with them instead. And student athletes who've been vaccinated are allowed to opt out of testing. However, Weiss says all policies are subject to change based on the most up-to-date information.
If we started seeing cases pop up in our activities, then we might tighten it and just say there is no opt-out, everybody's testing.
Back in school buildings, masks are still required for everyone. Proper hand washing has been taught and retaught to younger kids, and air purifiers have been installed.
Most of our kids, most of our staff, when they're at school, it's the most mitigated environment that they participate in. And so far, that's paying off.
At this point, Weiss doesn't see a scenario where the whole district would have to return to remote learning again.
I just think we're far enough down the road. I could be wrong. Stranger things have happened in the last 15 months that we never would have predicted. But with everything that I know up to this point, I would be incredibly surprised if we ever had to take that step.
In some cases, Weiss says the district has moved one grade level or one school to distance learning when cases emerged and plans to take that approach for the foreseeable future. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
Governor Mike Dunleavy appointed Ryan Anderson as the new commissioner of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. He replaces John McKinnon. Anderson has worked for the department for 20 years. His most recent position was director for the Northern Region. Anderson oversaw design, construction, maintenance, and operations for a region that extends from the Gulf of Alaska to the Arctic Ocean. He lives in Fairbanks. The governor's office did not provide the reason for McKinnon's departure and said it doesn't comment on personnel issues. McKinnon had been in the position since the start of the Dunleavy administration in 2018. It's raining in Juneau. Showers will continue tonight with a low of 47 degrees. Rain is likely through the end of the week.